Last week, for those of you who are not here, and for those of you who were here, we actually finished 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We did verses 16 to 21, but I felt like I didn't give verse 21 the attention that it deserved. 2 Corinthians 5:21 is one of the most important verses in the Bible. It's right up there with John 3:16. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, right up there with Romans 8, 28. You need to know 2 Corinthians 5:21 is what I'm saying. Okay? This is the very heart of the gospel. Now, I will read verses 18 to 21, just to give a few more verses of context, but our focus will be verse 21. But starting to read in 2 Corinthians 5:18. The Apostle Paul says, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing or accounting their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now, Paul, in these chapters, has been talking about Christian ministry in general. And he basically reaches the climax of his theme in these verses, where he is telling us what the message of the Christian minister is. Anyone who calls himself a Christian minister does not talk about this often, is not giving you the message of the Bible, the message of the gospel. Now, in case you didn't notice what it was, there was the word that kept popping up over these few verses, and this is what it is. The message that the Christian minister has is that of reconciliation to God. This is what it is all about. Reconciliation to God. Now, first of all, in order to understand reconciliation to God, we have to realize that reconciliation implies alienation, enmity. There's a bad relationship that exists. If two people are in a good relationship, they don't need to be reconciled. They're already fine. If people are in a bad relationship, then they need to be reconciled to one another. And I know if you ask your average person, you'll say something like, "Me and God, we're fine. We're fine. You know, God loves me. I mean, why wouldn't he love me? I'm quite lovable." People think. God's not angry with sin. God isn't upset. I mean, I know I'm not perfect or anything like that, but you know, God is fine with me the way that I am. In the book of Jeremiah, the Lord speaks and he says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked." Think of those words. Those are not good words. The heart is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. The reason people think they're fine is because their heart deceives them. They don't judge themselves by God's standards. They judge themselves by their standards, by the world's standards. And like, I'm fine, the way that I am. In Romans 8, Paul speaks of the carnal mind, that is the mind of the unbeliever. He says the carnal mind, the mind of the unbeliever, is enmity toward God. It's not that by nature we're friends with God. It's not that by nature we love God. It's not even that by nature we're neutral towards God. Paul says the natural mind is hostile to God. And if you think that that's not true, you realize that every time that a person sins, every time that we sin, every time that we sin, we're looking at our Creator in the face, who put us here with a purpose, who put us here to glorify Him. And we say to Him, "I'm not going to do what you tell me to do. I'm not going to live my life for the purpose that you put me here. I'm going to do what I want to do. That's what we do every time that we sin. All people are sinners, and there is an enmity that exists between us and God. And if God decided to hold our sins against us, we have no hope whatsoever. But here's the good news. Here's the good news of the gospel, that we can be reconciled to God. And this is what the gospel is all about. How? Well, in verse 19, it speaks of God as that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. How? By not imputing their trespasses to them. Or not accounting, it's the same word, or not accounting our sins, our trespasses, against us. Okay? The way that you can be reconciled to God, the way that you can be friends with God and accepted by God and not like this with God, is if he does not count your sins against you. Because you have sins which separate you from God. So how can we become friends? If he says, I'm not going to count them against you. Now, this word account, in the Greek it's logizo, or logadiazo in modern Greek. It's a very important biblical word. So I'm just going to talk about this for 1 minute. It's a very important biblical word. To account something. What does it mean? I'll give you a biblical story and you can understand what the word means. In the Old Testament, you had Jacob, who had married two girls, Leah and Rachel. And they lived with Laban, the girl's father. And then one day, they decide, we're leaving, we're just going back to where Jacob is from. And so he takes his wives and kids and they leave. And they're kind of thinking about, should we do this or not? And the girls, Leah and Rachel, say to Jacob, don't worry, yes, let's go. We have nothing here with our father. Our father accounts us as strangers. Okay? Now, were they strangers to their father? No, of course they were not strangers to their father. They were his daughters. They lived with him all his life. They knew each other very well. But what does it mean when they say, he accounts us as strangers? It means that he treats us as strangers. He views us as strangers. They're not strangers. But that's how he treats them. That's how he views them. That's how he counts them. Okay? Now, our sins are very real. And our sins, we deserve to be punished for our sins. But we can be reconciled to God if God does not count our sins against us. We can be reconciled to God if God treats us as though we haven't done the sin. We have done the sins. We can be reconciled. God treats us as though we haven't done them. But how is that going to work? How can that work? Is that fair? Is that just on the part of God? Think about this. God is a good judge. He can't just ignore sins. He can't just be like, well, I know you did this mountain of sins, but we'll just under the rug, and I'll just pretend that you didn't do them. He can't do that. That is not just. Imagine bringing a criminal who's done multiple crimes in front of a judge, and the judge says, I know that you've done all these terrible things, but I just won't count them against you, and I'll just let you go free. You freak out. That's not justice. That's not a good judge. If the good judge just lets all criminals go, his job is to punish criminals. So how can God, as Romans 3 says, how can God be both just and the justifier of those who believe in Jesus? God is both just and punishing sin, but can also declare us, who are sinners, to be just and righteous. How can that happen? How can God punish your sin without punishing you? Answer. By substitution. By sending someone as a substitute to be punished for your sins in your place. That is the only way. He still punishes someone for those sins, but not you. Someone else Which brings us to verse 21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Let's break this down. Starts off, for he. Who's the he? Well, if you go back to verse 20, it ends by saying, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So the last person that's mentioned is God. That's God the Father. For he, that's God. So God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. First thing we need to realize is that the gospel, the good news, is something that God did. It's God's plan. He did it. He did something. What does it keep saying in verse 18 and 19? That God was reconciling the world to himself. God did something. We didn't find a way to reconcile ourselves to God. God found a way to reconcile us to himself. We couldn't do it. All of the world's religions, other than biblical Christianity, every world religion other than biblical Christianity, is man-made, man-centered, and it's all about what we have to do to reconcile ourselves to God. And all of them, whether it's religions that have nothing to do with Christianity, or whether it's religions that call themselves Christianity but are not, they all basically give you a list of do these things, don't do these things. And if you're good enough, in the end, maybe you'll make it. That's not good news. If you know your heart, and if you know your sins, that is not good news. Work as hard as you can, all of your life, and maybe, just maybe, you'll make it to heaven. So, what if I don't do enough good? Well, then you'll go to hell, or be punished, or be annihilated, whatever each religion teaches. How can I know if I've done enough? Well, you can't. You just try and hope for the best. That's not very comforting. that's not really good news. The Bible says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and soul and strength and mind. Let me tell you something. This is not an exaggeration. None of us have ever loved God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind. None of us have ever, for a second, loved God with everything that is in us, with absolute purity, with absolute pure motives, with not tainted by sin, that none of us have loved God with all of our mind, all of our strength, all of our heart. None of us have ever loved God that correctly, not for a second. No matter what we do, as much as we try, and as much as we may try to follow all the rules that the religions give us to follow, we still have sin. We still have sin that has to be dealt with. Sin doesn't go away just because you helped an old lady across the street, or went to church, or got baptized, or whatever. Sin doesn't go away like that. Sin has to be paid for. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So we cannot save ourselves. And so, God does something to reconcile us to himself. The gospel is not about what I do or what we can do. The gospel, what does gospel mean? It means good news. Well, it's news that we proclaim. We proclaim what God has done in Christ. John 3:16. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. Which brings us to the second point. For he, God, made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Well, we know who the first he is. That's God. Who's the him? God made him who knew no sin. The Bible tells us that all people are sinners. One exception. Who was the only one who never sinned. There's only one human being in the history of the world who never sinned. In 1 John 3, 5, it says, in Christ there is no sin. 1 Peter 2, Peter says, Christ committed no sin. In fact, in John chapter 8, Jesus stands in front of the crowd and says, who here convicts me of sin? Who else could do that? Can anyone else stand up in front of a crowd and say, can anyone point to any sins that I've done? Think about this. Jesus never sinned. We're so used to that idea. Jesus never sinned. The Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Correct?
Yes.
Jesus did that. And he didn't just do it for a moment. He did it all of his life. What you and I cannot do for a second, Jesus did all of his life. Love God with all of his heart, soul, strength, and mind. For all of his life. And never sinned. That's astounding. That's who Christ is. So we found out who the one who had no sin was. That's Jesus. So God, the Father, made Jesus to be sin for us. What does that mean? Well, really quick, let me tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that Jesus became a sinner. Heaven forbid that Jesus would be a sinner. Okay? Jesus was the Lord of glory. They crucified the Lord of glory, Scripture says. Jesus was the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. He had no sin. He was not a sinner. He did not become a sinner. But in Isaiah 53, it says he bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The Lord has placed on him the iniquities of us all. In 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter says, he bore our sins in his body. God reconciles us to himself by not counting our sins against us. Great. But what happens to our sins? God doesn't just sweep them under the rug and say, I'll pretend they didn't happen. He doesn't do that. Something has to happen with our sins. He doesn't count them against us, so they're not accounted. They're not on our account. Where are they? They're placed on Christ. He becomes our sin. Our sin is what identifies us the most. That's how we're identified. We're just covered in sin, and it is placed on Christ. And he now is accounted with our sin. God does not account our sin to us, which means that he treats us. What did I say? What does it mean to not account our sins against us? It means to treat us as though we haven't sinned. Great. Well, if he accounts our sins to Jesus, what does that mean? That he treats them as though he had committed our sins. He had not committed our sins, but he treats them and deals with them as though he had committed our sins. And not just my sins, not just your sins, but the sins of all of God's people from the beginning of time are placed on Jesus. And he gets punished with the punishment that we deserve for our sins. In Isaiah 53, it says, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Turn just a couple of pages. Go to Galatians chapter 3 for a second. And verse 10. Paul says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Anyone who thinks that by following the law can somehow save himself, Paul says they're under a curse. Why? Because you've already broken the law. The law commands perfect obedience. The law says you have to continually do all the things that are in the law. That's how law works. Even man's law works like that. I don't have to break every law of the government in order to be put in prison. All I need to do is break one, and you get punished. You're a lawbreaker if you break one. And so Paul says, you want to get saved by the law? Well, guess what? You're cursed because you've already broken it. You've already broken it. Now what? Verse 13. But here's what happens. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. In the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 21, it said, cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree. And he says, well, guess what? Yes, when Christ hung there on the cross, he was cursed because all the sins of all his people were on him. And he took the curse that we all deserve, and God punished him in our place. He takes our sin, and therefore he takes the curse and is punished on our behalf. God is just, and all sin must and will be punished. But there's one or two places where sin will be punished. Either you can be punished for your sin in hell, or your sin can be punished on Christ, on the cross. Those are the two options. On the cross, God treated Jesus basically as though he had lived my life, as though he had lived the life of all us sinners, and God crushed him for it. Now, we see that he did this, and it says that he did this for us. God made Jesus to be sin for us. He did this to save us, to reconcile us to himself. Galatians 2, Paul says, the life that I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He did this for us. But it doesn't end there. It doesn't end there. There's the second part of the verse. Because let's say our sins are not accounted to us. Great. Wonderful. Let's say our sins are accounted to Christ. Praise the Lord. But how does that really make us righteous? How can God declare us to be righteous? How can God declare us to be just simply because our sins have been forgiven? Because we haven't done anything good. Yes, let's say that our sins are taken away and we're innocent, but we're not righteous. Because what have we done that deserves the joys of heaven? What have we done? We've done nothing. So how can God justify me? Because to justify means to declare me to be just, declare me to be righteous. How can God declare me to be righteous, even if my sins are forgiven? Well, at the cross, there is an exchange that happens. It's not simply that Christ takes my sin and is punished. It's not simply that God treats Jesus as though he had lived my life, but then he turns around and treats me as though I had lived Jesus' life. And it was a perfect life. Never sinned. Now, I was a sinner. I am a sinner. But I'm treated as though I'm not. Jesus was not a sinner, but he was treated as though he was. Jesus is accounted my sin, and I am accounted his righteousness. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we may become the righteousness of God in him. Can we just jump to Philippians chapter 3? You're already in Galatians. Go to Ephesians and then Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians 3, Paul is talking about his previous life before he became Christian. And he is talking about how he was circumcised and how he was a Jew and how he followed the law and how he was zealous. And he hoped that following all these things and doing all these things made him righteous. That would give him righteousness from the law. And here's what he realized. Verse 7. Philippians 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these things I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish. The actual word there is dung. I count them as dung, as manure, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. You don't become righteous by following the law, because you've broken it so many times that it's not going to work. The only way that you can be righteous is through trusting in Christ and his righteousness being accounted to you. We become righteous. We become the righteousness of God in him, in Christ. Christ. That's how the verse ends, 2 Corinthians 5:21. So that we may become the righteousness of God in Him. The only way is in Christ. This does not apply to you if you are not in Christ. It is only in Him. What did Peter say in the book of Acts? He says, there is no other name given amongst people from heaven by which we must be saved. It is only in Christ. So yes, we are sinners. And we are in need of reconciliation with God. But God did not leave us to die in our sins, which He could have, and He would have been perfectly just to do. But out of His love for us, He sent His only begotten Son to pay for our sins, so all who trust in Him have their sins counted to Christ. And we are justified and declared righteous through the righteousness of Christ. So that, as Romans 3 said, God can be both just and the justifier of those who believe in Jesus. That's the good news.